Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is Week 10, Day 5 of the study of Romans. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're doing a recap of the book of Romans. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Join me as we pray before we get started. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today, God? Would you speak to us? Lord, fill our minds with your word. Fascinate us with who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's start talking about the book of Romans. We've spent 10 weeks in the book of Romans. This is one of the most important books of the Bible since the days of the Protestant Reformation. More great men and women of God have found comfort and confusion in the book of Romans than almost any other book of the Bible, especially any book in the New Testament. And this was the book that largely kicked off the Protestant Reformation. Martin Luther was deeply impacted by the book of Romans, and he began to introspectively look at his life and look at the church around him, look at the situation around him, and start to evaluate everything he knew based on the Word of God as opposed to any other thing. And what he found in the book of Romans was very clear teaching that we are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus. We're not saved by any good works or any necessary works that we can do. We are saved only by faith in him. This is such a critical thing to understand about not only New Testament Christianity, as some people would call it, but God in general, just knowing God and how we come to know God. Old Testament and New Testament, Paul makes it clear in the book of Romans that no one has ever been saved by doing the works required in the law, because we're all really bad at it. No one has ever fulfilled the works of the law except for Jesus. Everyone else, every other human being in human history has fallen short of that grace of God that is perfect obedience, perfect adherence to the law. And so there are no good works that we can do. There's a saying amongst the rabbis at this time, and I believe even to this present day, that if you've broken one law, you've broken the entirety of the law. And so there's no one that can do that. You cannot earn your way into God's favor. But by God's grace, by the sacrifice of Jesus, by his shed blood on the cross, we are given that favor. And the only stipulation, the only requirement, the only work, if you will, that God requires to attain that salvation is that you believe that Jesus is God's Son and that God raised him from the dead like he said he did. That you believe that Jesus is this substitution for your punishment, for your sin. You believe that, you acknowledge that. And we've looked at this in other books, in Acts and Revelation, and Paul doesn't make it quite as explicit here as I believe John does in the book of Revelation or in the apostle's book of John, the Gospel of John. But Paul does, I believe, allude to it here, is that it's not about just knowing about Jesus. It's your allegiance to Jesus. Paul makes it clear is that you have to acknowledge him with your mouth, believe in your heart, and you'll be saved. And what that means is not just signing a card, but it means actually giving your allegiance to him. You are a citizen of a new country. You're a citizen of something new entirely. A citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And that is where your first citizenship lies henceforth. That's where your allegiance is. And everything else in life comes secondary to that. That's the only thing that God requires, is that allegiance. And from that, springs this idea, this concept of obedience. Paul talks about obedience. It's one of the central themes of Romans, as he always brings it back. The grace that we've been given by God through faith is not the grace just to not go to hell, although that's part of it, and that's a really big deal. But we've been given the grace to obey. We've been given the grace unto obedience before God. Because Paul says, before we knew Jesus, before we were accepted by God, we were his enemies, and we didn't even have the ability to obey. But now that we've been given this grace, because of our faith in Jesus, because of his sacrifice, now we have the ability to obey. God gives us the power. He gives us the ability to say no to sin and obey him. Many people think that the freedom and the liberty that we have in Jesus because of the book of Romans, many people cite the book of Romans for this, is that we've been given grace to do whatever we want. We've been given grace to sin. Paul addresses this idea very directly, and he says, heaven forbid. That is not what I'm talking about. And he even acknowledges that at that point in history, people were making that claim just like they do today. That they would say, well, it's all grace, brother. It's all grace. We can do what we want, and there's grace for that. You know, we can go here nobody's perfect, but there's grace. And that's not what Paul's talking about. Paul is not talking about this notion of, well, boys will be boys. You know, if you're listening along to this right now, I mean, the news has just been breaking over and over and over again here in November, December 2017 in the United States, that boys will be boys is not a good way to live. My goodness, we see so much, just so many terrible things coming out of the news over and over and over again, because so many people are coming forward and saying, this person is awful and they did this to me, and just so many things from the past, like 10, 15, 20, 30, 50 years, people's like dirty laundry is coming out. And my goodness, this idea of, you know, we're nobody's perfect and there's grace for that, that doesn't cut it. That leads to terrible, terrible things. Terrible things. Because if we allow ourselves, we will allow ourselves to get away with terrible things. People will, human beings, that's not just men, that's men and women, will do terrible, terrible, unspeakable things if we allow ourselves the grace to sin. And that is not the grace that Paul is talking about here. Yes, no one is perfect. And yes, the Lord does offer us grace, but the grace and the freedom, the liberty that he's given us is not to sin. It's the freedom from sin. We had the liberty and the grace and the freedom to sin before. We did it all the time. Before you came to know Jesus, you could sin as much as you want. We were good at that. Before you come to know Jesus, you can be as good at sinning as you want. There's perfect liberty to go sin. The liberty and the freedom we're given when we accept this grace from Jesus, it's that grace to not sin. It's the grace to obey. Just the opposite of what so many people nowadays use the book of Romans to justify. Paul makes it very clear. To come away with another understanding other than that is picking and choosing. You're just trying to see in Romans what you want to see. I believe those of you that have followed along with me and you've read it 10 times in 10 weeks, you don't need me explaining this to you. You read this book 10 times in a relatively short amount of time. Just read it through 10 times in 10 weeks. And I believe these words will come off the pages. They will leap off the page at you. And you will say, oh my gosh, he's absolutely right. Paul is not saying that we have a license to sin or just kind of, you know, be so-so or be, you know, let the boys be boys kind of thing. That's not what he's saying, even though that's a very, very popular teaching today. He's saying just the opposite, that you have the grace to obey now and you never did before. You never knew what obedience to God was like. You were his enemy, as Paul says in the book of Romans. But now, because of this grace, you have the ability to obey. That is powerful. Paul goes through the book of Romans and he details the relationship to God that Jews and Gentiles have. And he speaks to both Jews and Gentiles. In fact, he starts off speaking to Gentiles in chapter 1, and he talks about how terrible Gentiles will be, the things they will do when they give themselves license to sin. And that's what, you know, kind of that's what he's railing against in chapter 1. And again, we're seeing the things come out in the news right now of people over and over and over again who gave themselves license to sin. It's terrible. And then he turns his attention in chapter 2 when he speaks to Jews who believe that they are justified by the works of the law. They self-justify themselves because they say, well, we have the law. We're Jews. We know we're God's chosen people. And you know, we are God's elect. We are the ones that he's chosen. And Paul goes into many chapters breaking down and saying, yes, you were God's elect. You were his chosen ones. He chose you out of everyone else on planet Earth to be his special, holy, set apart people. But he didn't choose you because you were the best. He didn't choose you necessarily because you were his favorite. He chose you because he chose you. He chose Israel because he chose Israel. God will show mercy on those whom he wants to have mercy. End of story. And so Israel, because they think we are God's chosen people, we are the ones that he has given election to, we're it. We're the ones. We are the ones. We get a do whatever we want, get away with it badge. And Paul comes and says, no, it doesn't work that way. See, Paul says that no, there's been Jews that have been cut off because they thought that since they were God's holy chosen people, that they just get in. They get in the get out of jail for free card. He says it doesn't work that way. Jews, Gentiles, everyone, whether or not you have the law or not, salvation is only by grace through faith in the Messiah Jesus. Old Testament, by grace through faith in God. New Testament, by grace through faith in God. Jew and Gentile, it doesn't matter. It's always and always have been and always will be by grace through faith in God. There's no other way to be saved. Not by your adherence to the law, not by the virtue that you were given the law as a Jew. No one gets out of this except by grace through faith in God. And so Paul talks in Romans about, you know, is there any value in being a Jew then? If everyone gets in by grace through faith. And he says, yes, they are God's holy chosen people. They are the ones set apart. The Lord has special blessings for them. And Gentiles that believe are grafted into this tree, and they receive some of those special blessings, but God has never broken his promise, and Israel can still inherit every single one of God's promises. Israel will inherit all of those promises. But as it currently stands, Israel is rejected because they've rejected the only means of salvation they ever had. Many people teach that Old Testament, the Jews were saved by the law, and New Testament were saved by grace. Paul, and they cite Romans for that, and Paul addresses that very clearly in the book of Romans, is that Old Testament, you were saved by grace through faith. New Testament, you're saved by grace through faith. I hope that phrase is stained in your mind after this podcast. That's the only way to God that anyone has ever had or will have. There's no other way. There's no other means to be saved. It's one of the reasons that I don't really like the phrase New Testament Christianity. because we are followers of God. Christians was a word that was used, you know, back in Antioch, meaning little Christ or Christ followers. And that does define us. We are Christians. But there's really no such thing as New Testament Christians. We were only called Christians since the New Testament, but there are followers of God. And there have been followers of God in the Old Testament and followers of God in the New Testament. And every single one of them was only saved by grace through faith. There's nothing else that you get out of the book of Romans. And there are many other things to get, but if you get nothing else, get that. That's what Martin Luther got. That's what so many other people got. And it changed their life. And that grace gives us the ability to obey, to please God, to know him, to love him. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, the Apostle John records this in his gospel, that Jesus says that if you love me, you'll obey me. And if you obey me, it shows me that you love me. And again, it's not about earning his salvation. We can't do that. It's the only meaningful response to what he's done. It's the only legitimate response. It's the only response that makes any sense when we think about what he saved us from and what he saved us to. Obedience. Doing everything we can to show our love to God. It's the only thing that makes sense. I pray that the Lord has stirred your heart. If you've never made that commitment to the Lord, to put your trust in him, to follow him, to give him your allegiance, to say, I'm yours forever, Jesus. I invite you right now, if you've never prayed that prayer, pray that with me right now. Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I need you to forgive my sins. Would you forgive my sins, God? Jesus, I acknowledge that you died on the cross for my sins. And you rose again that I will live with you forever. I acknowledge that. I believe that God raised you from the dead, Jesus. Would you save me and fill me with your Holy Spirit? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I would love it. Or if you prayed that prayer at all, first, second, doesn't matter. If you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it, would you send an email to me@darrenhibbs.com? That's me@darrenhibbs.com. Send an email to me@darrenhibbs.com, and I'd love to dialogue with you and find out what's going on in your life. But that's it for today, and that's it for the book of Romans. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I really am glad you joined me. As always, I do appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes. We're going to have a special 2-week podcast. We're going to take a break from doing another book, and we're going to have a special 2-week podcast. For those of you that are listening and keeping current with this, we are coming up on the Christmas season. I thought it would be a great time to do 2 weeks of the Christmas story and dive into Matthew 2 and Luke 2 and hear more about the Christmas story. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back next week with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.